From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Two American journalists who've been held in a North Korean prison since March are on their way to Los Angeles, along with former U.S. President Bill Clinton, who negotiated their release today with North Korean leader Kim Jong-il in Pyongyang. Kim issued a special pardon. Former National Security Council member Dennis Wilder says Mr. Clinton was uniquely poised to seek their release.
Remember that the North Koreans at the end of the Clinton administration felt that they hit the high point of relations with the United States. Secretary Albright had been to Pyongyang just before the end of the Clinton administration. They felt very good about the Clinton administration.
The White House called the former president's trip a private mission. North Korea had accused Laura Ling and Yuna Lee of illegally crossing into the country from China. Iran says it arrested three Americans last week for illegally entering the country. The three were reportedly hiking in northern Iraq when they crossed into Iran, despite warnings from border guards. The full Senate has begun debate on whether to confirm Judge Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court. With all of the Democrats and a handful of Republicans expected to vote for her, the only remaining question is how wide Sotomayor's margin of victory will be. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
Sotomayor's supporters had hoped she would be a consensus nominee with strong support from Republicans, but that's not how it turned out. More than 20 Republicans have said they will vote against her. Only about half a dozen have committed to supporting her. In contrast, when President Bush nominated John Roberts to be Chief Justice, Roberts received 22 votes from the opposing party. Democrats hope to spin Republicans' opposition to Sotomayor into a political advantage with Hispanic voters. Some of the Republicans voting no come from states with large Latino populations, including Texas, Nevada, and Arizona. The Senate's only Hispanic Republican, Florida's Mel Martinez, has said he will support the nominee. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
The Commerce Department says U.S. consumer spending in June ticked up, but personal incomes fell by 1.3%. NPR's Frank Langfitt has details.
The Commerce Department said the June decline in personal income was the largest monthly drop in more than 4 years. The government said spending was up 0.4%, but that increase came during a month when gas prices were at their highest level so far this year. The government said the personal savings rate dipped last month to 4.5% of disposable income. Still, that was dramatically higher than during the nation's earlier credit binge, when people actually spent more money than they earned. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street today, the Dow gained 33 points to close at 9,320. The Nasdaq rose 2 points, closing at 2,011. The S&P rose 3 points to close at 1,005. This is NPR. The Taliban is claiming responsibility for a series of rocket attacks in Kabul early today, one of which landed near the U.S. embassy, despite stepped-up security. Taliban insurgents had warned they would increase violence in advance of Afghanistan's presidential election later this month. Police in Australia arrested 4 men they say are linked to a Somali terrorist organization. Officials there claim the suspects were planning an attack on an Australian military base. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston has more.
More than 400 law enforcement officials fanned out across Melbourne around dawn and arrested 4 men they say were planning a suicide attack against a nearby military installation. 2 of the suspects were Lebanese, and 2 were Somali. Officials say they trained with a Somali militia group with ties to al-Qaeda called al-Shabaab. The Australian case has caught the attention of the U.S. intelligence community because for some time now, it's been investigating the disappearance of some 24 young Somali Americans from the Minneapolis area. They also trained in Somalia with al-Shabaab. The concern has been that they, too, would come back to the U.S. and attack here. 2 arrests have been made in the Minnesota case so far. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
President Obama turned 48 years old today. He celebrated his birthday earlier in the day in the White House briefing room, leading a happy birthday sing-along for veteran reporter Helen Thomas, who turns 89 today. Obama presented cupcakes to the Hearst newspaper columnist, who said her birthday wishes are world peace and what she called a real health care reform bill. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.